Our gospel lesson for today from the beginning of John's gospel is full of rich and beautiful and powerful and famous imagery. So I want to talk through that lesson with you today. It's a good one. We heard a little of it even last week as part of the lessons and carols, excuse me, that we had. And so we didn't reread from the very beginning of John, but we started here with verse 10. Some of these powerful images that I really appreciate, you know, talking about children of God, this business of the Word made flesh, of course, grace upon grace. Before we get into all the good parts, I do want to offer just a word of warning about one little bit of this reading. We need to watch out for the part in verse 11 where it says, "He came," he being Jesus, of course, "he came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him." This is one of those lines, and there are plenty in John's gospel, unfortunately, as well as elsewhere in the New Testament, that has been used and really twisted to support anti-Semitic tropes in the Christian church. His own people did not accept him. Don't buy that anti-Semitic reading of this. That's not what this is. Jesus was a Jew. Everybody in the story was a Jew. That's how it works. We do know that John's gospel was written to a community that was struggling in conflict with the Jewish neighbors who had not joined the Christian church. And so there, you know, the tension was real. But this is not about his own people being the Jewish people that did not accept him. It's sort of, it would be a really like strange backwards sort of thing to say, yes, Jesus was Jewish and his people were Jewish and they rejected him, so Jewish people are bad, but Jesus was one and like all the good guys were also Jews in this story. I mean, that's like how it works, right? So let's not get into that. I mean, I think there is some value to the notion of Jesus' own people not accepting him, but it's not based on that religious identity. It's based on the relationship of all humankind to sin and to God and to salvation. So anyway, let's move on to the parts I like better. Right? Doesn't that seem like my wife is laughing at me across the room? Well, that seems fair. Okay. This reading, of course, has these powerful, powerful words. And the part that I love the best is verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us." And I think I want to take, you know, just a minute to talk about flesh, to talk about our bodies. Generally, you all seem to respond positively when I do that. So I think it's a good idea. Are we more aware of our bodies in these days and what they're doing? We have less traveling and festivity to distract us. You know, is it worse to sit alone with your own thoughts or to sit alone in your own body? I don't know. I don't know, that's something that each person can figure out in sort of an existential way. But a thing that I did want to think about in terms of bodies, and, you know, the Word became flesh, right? Jesus was a human person with a human body and, like, experienced the things that humans experience. And so I think it's important to talk about human bodies in that way. You know, this time of year, there's usually a lot of that thing like, oh, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution to lose a few pounds or whatever. All that silliness. Just don't do that. Take a year off of that stuff. In fact, take a lifetime off of that stuff. Don't like do a diet or whatever. Like don't like feel bad about your body and then like mess with it. That's just not it's not a healthy thing to do. And it's usually not a helpful thing to do, honestly. I be healthy. I encourage you to be healthy. You know, take care of your body by all means. Feel good about your body, but start feeling good about your body now. Today. Don't do what I sometimes am tempted to do and wait to feel good about my body until I've transformed it into whatever I wish it was or whatever it was 10 or 20 years ago. That doesn't actually work for me or for anybody else. So let's just not do that. God loves you, your whole self, your whole body right now, today. And I think probably if we love our bodies more, we'll actually do a better job of caring for them in a way that is healthy and sustainable and not punitive and guilt and shame induced. So let's not do that stuff. It's one of the common problems of this time of year. We all know. At least this year, we can't all do the thing where like everybody joins the gym and shows up at the gym tomorrow. You know, like at least that dumb body thing, annual tradition should be out. And then, of course, they stop going 2 weeks later or whatever. Let's not do that. I mean, if you need to change your body, if you want to change your body, that's great. That's good. But again, don't wait to love yourself until your body has changed. Don't wait to love yourself until you can like your body. I'll say it slower. Don't wait to love yourself until you can like your body. That's just not how it is. You got to love yourself now, and your body is part of who you are. And again, I'll repeat what I said a minute ago. God loves you, your whole self, your whole body, right now, today. So let's take a lesson from that. Now, we've talked about the flesh side of the Word made flesh, but now I want to go back and talk about the Word side of the Word made flesh. The Word, God's own self. Remember, we heard that in the beginning of John's Gospel, the part we didn't read today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word made flesh, God's own self, knowing humanness by experience. Jesus knew pain and loss, hunger and discomfort, physical and emotional. Maybe even spiritual. I don't know. We don't need to get that far into that today. But the point is that through Jesus, God had the experience of being a human person, like in a human body, like with all that that entails, right? God experienced it. This, like, it's not just something that we talked about. It's not something God observed from some, like, throne on high or whatever weird image we have in our heads. God was here with us. God was us. And that is a powerful, powerful image, at least for me. It's a powerful truth. It's the reason that I can trust God, the reason that I feel okay about this whole project of following Jesus. I can trust God because God has been there. God has been here. God has been through the things that I have been through. And God has still chosen to love me. Just as God has chosen to love each of you. God knows your experiences. God knows your failures and your shortcomings and your joys. And God chooses to love and forgive and welcome you. And I, for me, the embodiedness, the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, in a human person, makes me believe those things in a way that I couldn't if it was just some thought, if it was just like, you know, old beardy guy in the sky or whatever awful image of God we have. That stuff. God is here with us because God has been here with us. So, one more little point that I want to bring up from this lesson, another image that I think is beautiful, where it says, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. There's a comma in there I don't understand, so maybe I'm missing something. But obviously the image of grace upon grace is so beautiful and powerful that God's grace is overwhelming for us, that God's grace overwhelms our sin, our separation, our doubt, even death itself, grace upon grace, an endless flowing wave of grace upon grace. And also from that same sentence, really, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. What is his fullness? I was thinking about this fullness. Jesus, full of humanity, the fullness of his humanity. Jesus, full of divinity, full of whatever God is. This is one of those places where I think we get the kernel of some of our big theological ideas about how Jesus is fully human and fully divine. You know, all of both, all together. It's from that fullness, those fullnesses even, all together, that we receive grace upon grace. And finally, we know God through the one who so intimately knows us. Jesus, as a human being, knows us, knows our experiences, knows what it is to be one of us, knows what it is. Again, pain and loss and even death itself, God has experienced with us, for us. Jesus knows us. And therefore, we know God through that same Jesus. the verse from our reading. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. We know God through this Jesus. We know God's grace upon grace. We know love and mercy and forgiveness and acceptance of us precisely as we are, wherever we are, through Jesus. When we look for God, we don't look for some other wacky image. We look to Jesus. We look to Jesus, who was born a vulnerable child, who grew, who lived a human life, who taught and fed the hungry and cared for the, you know, healed the sick and cared for the stranger and healed the leper and all these things. Welcomed the outsider, welcomed the little children to him. These are the things Jesus did, and he taught about justice and love and doing the right thing in relationship with God. Not just what the law says, but what is the right thing. Jesus taught all these things. And then Jesus died. He was arrested, he was persecuted, all these things that happened to Jesus. We recognize God through all of those things. And in our tradition, we like to talk particularly about recognizing Jesus through the cross, through his death, through his suffering, through the fact that God for us experienced the worst of what humanity has to offer. That what was done to Jesus, what was done to God by us, by humans, was the worst that we could do. And still, God loves us. And still, God, in Jesus Christ, rose from the grave for us so that we could be sure that death would never have the last word, that life would always win, that grace upon grace, that love and mercy and forgiveness would always be the end of our story. This is the God we know through Jesus Christ. And when we know these things, then we can do things we never thought were possible. We can survive a pandemic. We can love our neighbor as ourselves, even in this time. We can care for one another. We can reach out to one another. We can share what we have to make the world a better place for someone in need. And we can accept the help that we need from other people when it's our turn. All of this is what we know of God through Jesus. Amen.